Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like our show on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report. That way you can listen to our past shows like yesterday's podcast where we had former defensive lineman Kyle Rasmussen come on. He talked about the issues that MSU was having in the trenches, his experiences with the rivalry. Obviously, he was a part of the huge T.J. Duckett catch in 2001. He talked about that a little bit. He also talked about the play of Malik McDowell. They ultimately played the same position on the defensive line. Well, at first, McDowell played tackle, Rasmussen played tackle. He talked about his thoughts on Malik McDowell maybe trying to shoulder the load a little bit too much. Today on the show, Grant Estenmacher is with me. We're going to talk about some of the leadership issues that Michigan State appears to be having. At least that's what it looks like from the outside. Trevin Pendleton, he'll be on today. And we'll talk to him about this year's rivalry game with the University of Michigan. Obviously, he was a part of one of the more improbable plays in college football history last year. Obviously, Grayson Miller, Matt Morrissey freeing up the ball from Blake O'Neal, Jalen Watts-Jackson picking it up, and Sean McDonald said scoring on the last play of the game. But Grant, you're with me right now, man. Obviously, last year wasn't necessarily an ideal way to win. But Michigan State got the W. Just goes to show you that anything can happen in this rivalry. But this year, Michigan looks like one of the top five teams in the country. Michigan State, well, they have a five-game losing streak. Is this one of those years where, let's go back to John L. Smith, where Michigan State can maybe hang around long enough to at least cause some trouble for the Wolverines late?
I think that Michigan this year, the thing that concerns me about Michigan State's ability to hang around is Michigan's defense. And I think, you know, if you look at Michigan State's offense this year, obviously it's been kind of a struggle. You've seen flashes of ability to score. Lewerke showed flashes of, you know, he's made some good throws, he's made some good plays to his feet, he's also made some freshman mistakes. But, you know, if you look at Michigan's defense, it's going to be tough to do that unless Michigan State's defense shows up to play and can keep Michigan's offense from scoring points. If they can keep the game low scoring, I think they might be able to hang around for a little while. But even if that's the case, I don't really see it more than a half. I just think Michigan's that much better. It's going to be tough for them to hang around much longer than that. If they do, I'll be shocked, happy, but I don't see it happening for much longer than a half.
Get a chance to listen to the podcast yesterday that we had with Rasmussen?
I haven't listened to it yet, no.
Yeah. He had quite the prediction. He said 45-0 Michigan State.
I think
he has confidence in the redshirt freshman quarterback. Let's just put it like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. And here's the thing that he said, though, that did stick with me is that it starts up front, ultimately. And you look at the line play, really for both teams, it's on opposite ends of the spectrum. Michigan, their offensive line collectively might be the best in the Big Ten. Their defensive line is the best in the Big Ten. Michigan State's defensive line probably could have been mentioned in that, but they've not lived up to the expectations, the offensive line. Well, you and me, we've kind of harped on that over the past couple weeks, where, long story short, they're struggling. I mean, they looked good against Maryland. I thought they looked great against Maryland, but I think you brought up the point that Michigan State should be able to run on that team as they're the 10th best rushing defense in the Big Ten.
Right. Yeah, and I think, too, you know, you look at the way Michigan State might possibly attack the Michigan defense, and I think they are going to try to run the ball to start, given how good that secondary is. I mean, if you look at the numbers for Jordan Lewis and Channing Stribling and Jabril Peppers and all those guys in the secondary, you know, they've been really, really good. And so I think they might, you know, try to run the ball. It also keeps the ball out of Michigan's hands, keeps the ball in Michigan State's hands longer if they can get some first downs on the ground. But ultimately, they are going to have Lewerke make plays to the air, and I think that's where it could go south for Michigan State. I just don't see Michigan State having the ability right now to give Lewerke time to throw first off, and second off, have the receivers get enough separation on an All-American quarter like Jordan Lewis or some of these guys that Michigan has in their secondary that have been really good this year.
Yeah, and we'll get back to talking about that game in a second. Right now, I believe we have one of the toughest Spartans ever joining us. Trevin Pendleton, obviously he was the fullback for the past few seasons for Michigan State, had his NFL stop cut short due to a broken foot, but he's a nice enough to take the time with us today to talk about the rivalry with U of M. Trevin, are you there? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
We're doing great. Hey, thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I just kind of, before we talk about this year's team and everything that's going on, we do kind of want to talk about the rivalry. You're from Ohio, so you kind of grew up in the Big Ten footprint, but like, did you, when you got to Michigan State, did you just have that, hey, they take this thing pretty seriously type moment that exemplified what this rivalry is about?
Yeah, absolutely. So like, when you get to Michigan State, they kind of talk about, you know, the Michigan game all year, but honestly, until you're a part of it, until it's Michigan week, you really don't even understand. And, I mean, it's just, it's a different vibe come Michigan week. No matter what the records is, no matter what anything is, it's a different vibe, and you know you're going to be in for a dogfight either way. So, I mean, it's a special feeling around campus that week, and, I mean, it's hard to describe, honestly.
Yeah, well, you said they talk about the Michigan game a lot. It's not exactly a secret that your head coach for the past few years, Mark D'Antonio, is not really a fan of U of M. How much does his demeanor change during the course of the week as opposed to other games?
Well, I feel like all of our coaches' demeanor change, and the players. I mean, it's a rivalry game. It's a game that's a trophy game, and it's a game that kind of represents your season. So, I mean, I feel like a lot of coaches' demeanors change, and everyone's kind of on the edge, and there's just that extra energy level that week that, you know, isn't there throughout the season. Not saying that, you know, not everyone takes other weeks serious, but this week's just elevated just a little bit.
Again, former Michigan State fullback Trevin Pendleton is with us. Now, I got a pretty good idea that I know what the answer to this next question is going to be. But what has been your favorite moment looking back on the rivalry?
My favorite moment has to be the muff punt return for a touchdown last year. Just, I mean, at that moment, being our senior year and just watching the crowd deflate like that, and just it was unreal.
Yeah, kind of take us through that. You were watching the play on the sideline. What was going through your head?
Well, honestly, the sideline, and you know, it was kind of emotional being our senior year and being upset and stuff. And there was a UM fan behind me that just kept chirping and saying things. Like, you know, warm up the bus, it's over, back to East Lansing, all this stuff. And, like, Paul Bunyan staying here and everything. And then kind of the play started to unfold, and I really couldn't see it from where I was at. And I heard the crowd erupt, and I looked up on the Jumbotron, and I see the ball loose, and I see it fall into Jalen's hands. And I, like, take off running towards the sideline so I could see it. And then I'm thinking, you know, run out of bounds or fall down so we got to kick at it to win. And then, you know, I'm like, well, the clock's getting 3, 2, 1. I'm like, all right, he's got to score. So it was kind of just a freaking bunch of different emotions. I mean, it was pretty wild.
Yeah, obviously last year's team ended up on the better side of fortune a couple of times. Not necessarily fortune, but they had some of those late game heroics. Obviously the punt at U of M last year, Michael Geiger's field goal against Ohio State, the L.J. Scott reach where you laid out a key block in the Big Ten championship game, despite the fact you were playing hurt during that game. What have you noticed that has really been the big difference of Michigan State kind of ending up on the other side of the coin this year with a lot of losses coming in the fourth quarter?
Honestly, I think it has to do with experience and leadership. I mean, last year we was fortunate enough to have a bunch of guys that had started multiple years and they've been in big games and they've been in crunch time and they understand how to finish games. They understand what it takes. We obviously have all the talent in the world. We have a lot of talented freshmen and a lot of talented young guys that really haven't played yet. And that just takes something to develop. I mean, if everyone remembers back in 2012, we had a pretty rough season. Things didn't go our way, and we lost a lot of close games. But being in those close games helped us realize what it takes to finish them and helped us develop later in our careers and be able to finish them and understand that, you know, you got to play four quarters. You can't play three. You can't play three and a half. So you got to come out and you got to strap it up every play and get ready to go. So, I would just say definitely experience. I mean, being in those games, and you can't substitute that. I mean, these freshmen – they got all the talent in the world, but yeah, they've really never been thrown in the fire like that yet.
Yeah, and that's been one of our topics of conversation over the past few weeks, really, is the fact that, look, the youth is there, and you can talk about the senior leaders on this team, but even the senior leaders weren't necessarily playing a lot as well. I mean, just because you're seasoned in practice doesn't mean that you have that experience in the closer games. Obviously, you look at a guy like Tyler O'Connor, for example. He had that game against Ohio State, but other than that, his resume looks rather bare prior to this season. Now, when you look at these two teams, a lot of people are obviously on the U of M bandwagon this year. I think Vegas opened the line at 18 and a half, and it's already up to 21 last I checked. What does this Michigan State team need to do to, well, now it's pull off the upset against U of M?
Honestly, just come out and play Michigan State football. Really, offensively, try to control the line of scrimmage and the run game. I think that the team that has won the rushing in this game, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, has won like something ridiculous, like 8 out of the last 10 or 18 out of the last 20. I mean, it's way up there. Coach D always talks about it, but I mean, obviously controlling the line of scrimmage and winning the rushing game is huge in this rivalry. And defensively, also controlling the line of scrimmage and everyone flying to the ball and just playing sound football on all three phases of the game. Can't make mistakes and beat yourself, especially in rivalry games. You got to play, you know, really key on offense, defense, and special teams and just go out there and execute the fundamentals and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Does the fact that Michigan State has, I mean, since 2013, they've kind of struggled with spread teams, but have always flexed their muscle against power teams like U of M. Does that maybe throw another wrinkle into it where, hey, maybe Michigan State can be a little more comfortable this weekend?
I think being in the Big Ten, obviously, it's a run-first league for the most part. It's a really hard-nosed league still and real physical. So these are the type of games that we enjoy as Michigan State Spartans. I think that it's definitely something you're more comfortable in. And even that, it's a rivalry game. A lot of in-state kids playing on both sides of the ball. So, I mean, it's amplified. And it's definitely something that you're going to be comfortable in, and you're going to be, no matter what, if you're from Michigan, if you have any foot in the rivalry at all, or if it's your first year there, you'll understand very quickly that it's a whole other level, and you'll play at that level.
All right. Hey, Trevin, man, we know that you got to get going, but we'd kind of be remiss if we didn't ask you for a prediction for this weekend.
My prediction for the weekend is that you're going to see Michigan State come out and kind of get back to their roots and the things that they do well, and you're going to see some wrinkles in the offense and defense, and you're going to see us pull off an upset.
All right. Hey, Trevin, man, we really appreciate the time. Thank you for coming on, talking Michigan State, Michigan football, your history with the rivalry and everything else. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Go Green.
And that was Trevin Pendleton, former fullback at Michigan State. And Grant, he kind of hit on something that we were going to talk about a little bit later. Let's talk about it now. Is Michigan State's self-inflicted wounds, so to speak. A couple of missed assignments. Malik McDowell overplaying a couple things here and there. Riley Bulla's three personal fouls in 11 minutes. Monty Medeiros' fumble. And that's just from the Maryland game. Obviously, you can go back and you can look at other things, the drops against IU, maybe some of the play calling against BYU. Like, these all seem self-inflicted. Is this just an issue with the youth that Pendleton talked about, or is this a bigger issue where maybe the team's just not fundamentally sound and there's no way to correct it in the immediate future this year and maybe next season?
I think a lot of times in sports, you look back at teams that struggle, that maybe have high expectations, that struggle, and you look at a team like Michigan State, and you see a lot of these seniors, you know, the Riley Bulla thing, Malik McDowell, you know, missing assignments, feeling like he has to carry the load. You look at Cox in the secondary who misses assignments, and other guys, some of these seniors that are supposed to be your leaders, that are supposed to know what they're doing and have the assignments down on every play. I think part of the reason why they're missing assignments is just pure frustration. You know, they've had so much success throughout their career here, and then they come and now they have what's going on this year. They've lost, you know, 5-6 straight. So it's frustration, I think, for them. And in terms of the youth, I think that's really what it is. I mean, young guys are going to miss assignments. When you make the move to play young players, that's kind of something you have to deal with. I mean, as a coach, you kind of expect that going in. You want to teach them, want to let them know what the assignment is and hope that they can get it right away. But for the young guys missing assignments, I think a lot of it is just learning the system, not knowing the system completely yet. If you're going to play those guys, that's going to happen. But for the older guys, I think a lot of it is frustration. They're pressing a little bit. They feel like they have to win. You know, they haven't won in so long. They feel like they got to get a win. And I think part of that is a little bit of the Malik thing where he's taking a lot on his shoulders and feeling like he has to go and make every play. And I think that's partly why they're missing assignments, outside of maybe just a lack of communication with some of the young guys that they haven't played with a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this team, you could probably point to 4 seniors maybe that are playing well. O'Connor, other than the Wisconsin game, obviously, Brandon Clemens, RJ Shelton, Darian Hicks. And even then, you look at it, O'Connor is hurt. He had a bad game, and so Lewerke's been getting some time. Darian Hicks has been hurt. Brandon Clemens has been moving around. Like, the only guy who's been really set is RJ Shelton. And so, I mean, this team needs more from their seniors when they go as young as they have been going. I think last week we saw the final stages of the youth movement. Obviously, Justin Lane started a couple weeks in a row. Brian Lewerke, obviously, with the hype and everything else going on around him. Kari Willis has played a lot. He overtook Demetrius Cox in the second half of the Maryland game. David Dowell took over for Monte Nicholson. Theo Lacusa played more. When Riley Bulla got ejected, Shane Jones did not come in. Instead, they burned the red shirt of Joe Bocci. I want to get your thoughts on the youth movement and mean, I guess now would be as good of a time as any, given what Michigan State faces as far as their aspirations of keeping their bowl streak alive, which is pretty much all that they're fighting for ultimately right now. I just want to get your thoughts on the youth movement and how the young guys have played.
Yeah, I mean, you know, any time that you have a season like this and a lot of fans are going to call for all the young guys to play, I think as a coach, eventually once you get to this point, you kind of have no choice but to start doing that. And really, you mentioned Kari Willis. I thought Kari Willis played very, very well in that second half against Maryland. I thought he looked really impressive. But in terms of some of the other guys,
the player of the game for Michigan State.
Right. Yeah, really. I mean, in terms of some of the other guys, you know, you look at Bocci and some of these other guys, I don't know how many more red shirts D'Antonio's going to burn. I think he did burn Kenny Like's red shirt as well, if I remember right. I thought I saw him on the field too.
Yeah, Kenny Like played.
Yep. So, I think you look at it, and I think he's going to probably slow down the burning the red shirts a little bit, given how many he's burned already. But if there ever was a week to throw young guys to the wolves and say, here's what you have to be better than for the rest of your career, you know, this upcoming week would be the one, and to play, to have them have the opportunity to play a team like Michigan the way they are right now, where Michigan has a really good football team, I think is going to be a great experience for them, regardless of what the outcome looks like. They are going to leave the game knowing, okay, this is how good we have to be a Big Ten contender, to maybe win the Big Ten, to go to the college football playoff, you know, have a chance for the national title, which obviously, given what happened last year, is the expectations of the program now. And so I think that, you know, throwing them into these games and throwing them into the meat of the Big Ten schedule is only going to help them for the future. And I think some of the guys have played well. I mean, we talked about Kari Willis. You know, obviously some of the young receivers have played well. Donnie Corley's had his ups and downs, but you see why everybody's so excited about him. So I think some of these young guys have played well. You saw a lot more of Austin Robertson in that second half against Maryland. I saw him a lot. So, you know, I think it's going to end up being beneficial for them for the future. You know, it might piss some of the seniors off, but then again, if you lose your spot, you lose your spot. Clearly what they were doing earlier on isn't working given the record and given the results. So, you know, I think that it's going to be definitely beneficial for some of these young guys in the future to get the playing time that they're getting.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought for the most part everybody looked good. I still have some reservations about Josh King, given his size. I would like to see him play a little more aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of has that William Golston type feel where, hey, I'm going to turn it up for this play and I'm going to cause some serious havoc. And then the next play, it appears he's getting pushed around a little bit. But, hey, Golston ended up all right. I remember Michigan State fans panicking how they would replace him. And Shalee Calhoun stepped in. Well, you see the results of not having his leadership on the field this year as opposed to last. And you talked about a lot of the fans calling the freshmen for the youth movement to take place anyways, even if that is a guy like Kari Willis, who is a sophomore. But the fans have also made some other comments that make you think, hey, you know what, maybe listening to them isn't the greatest idea. It's a small fraction of the fans that are called. I understand wanting maybe some changes in the coaching staff. I get it. Talent on this team this year is there. And so maybe a change in the coaching staff here or there. Some people are going as far to say, maybe like Mark D'Antonio. Hey, thanks for what you did. Thanks for 3 Big Ten championships, 6 years, Rose Bowls, Cotton Bowls, the college football playoff appearance, but pack your bags is pretty much what I read. And you know what? I'm going to refrain because I don't have a great filter. I want you to get them, man. Because I know that you're in agreement with me that D'Antonio obviously is the guy.
Yeah, those calling for Mark D'Antonio's head are just flat out absurd, ridiculous. I can't even fathom the stupidity of that claim. I mean, the only thing I'm going to say is the grass is not greener on the other side. When you have a top 10 coach in the country at your program, which Michigan State does, You don't fire that guy after one bad season and he made a college football playoff appearance the year before. I mean, you talked about everything that he's accomplished, and given where this program was when he took it over to now, I mean, my God, like some people, I agree with you that I think there should be changes at the end of the year on the actual staff. The fact that people are even, I've even seen that is absurd. I can't even believe that that's been uttered. And so Mark D'Antonio should have a spot here at Michigan State for as long as he wants to have it. So I don't see any change like that forthcoming anywhere in the near future. And I think those people asking for that change are just absolutely flat out need to educate themselves. I just don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I think one of our buddies in the NSU recruiting group, which on Facebook, iSportsWeb has a huge affiliation with, went as far to say, how mad are you going to be when we hire a guy like Luke Fickell?
Good Lord.
So when you – yeah, I mean, ultimately there's not going to be too many options left over, and I mean, bet your butt none of them are going to be better than Coach D'Antonio. And all, like, it just goes to show you that, with the exception of our listeners, social media tends to be a little bit of a cesspool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an embarrassment of riches that Michigan State has had over the past few years. And when you look at what he's done, what Mark D'Antonio has done for the program, I mean, ultimately, I will agree a little bit with Ryan McCumber, where, look, changes need to be made. It is on Mark D'Antonio to make those changes. If he does not make those changes within the staff, it is on him a little bit. Same time, you look at a guy like Tom Izzo, who maybe played Deontay Davis a little bit more than he should have played last year. Like Izzo, Mark D'Antonio's kind of earned the benefit of the doubt at this point, given where Michigan State was to where they are now.
Right, and I think that, I think that it's a good comparison. And when you have – I mean, Michigan State fans are very lucky, and that's why when you see things like what you see on social media, people calling for D'Antonio's head or wherever it may be, you know, people just don't understand how truly lucky they are to be in this time of Spartan athletics, because this is really about as glory years as it gets with these two guys heading up the two major programs in college athletics for Michigan State. And so, you know, you're right when you talk about social media being a cesspool. Some of the things you see on there are just flat out wrong, and it's hard to look at that rationally, and it's hard to even talk about that rationally. You know, the fact that that's even being brought up, like I said, is just really ridiculous. I mean, Izzo is untouchable. You know, D'Antonio is just about getting there, and I think he's in the benefit of the doubt as well. So I don't see, you know, like I said, I mean, the people asking for that, it's just there's no – Michigan State's not going to go out and hire Tom Herman. They're not going to go out and pull any, like, Nick Saban back here or anything like that. Like, there's just no – you're not going to go out and get any of these guys. And so it's not – and even if you did, it's completely restarting. And so there's no reason to even call for that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, Michigan State's enjoying the best run in about 50 years of college football and basketball combined. Seven, we won the national championship in football, made the Final Four in basketball. And so good luck trying to reach those heights again. Just for the first day, thanks to Trevin Pendleton for coming on. Be sure to check us out later this week. And I mean, even yesterday we had Kyle Rasmussen on, so you can go back and you can listen to the podcast there. But William Whitaker is going to talk about the offensive line, former offensive lineman for MSU, former special teams ace DeAndre Cobb, made a nice little living in the NFL, returning kicks. Also had a breakout game against Michigan. He's going to talk about some of the special teams issues. And Rose Bowl Cotton Bowl champion Tyler Topolinski, he'll talk about, well, our most recent topic of discussion that me and Grant just had on the show. He'll talk about that on Friday. All these guys are going to talk about their history with Michigan as well. For Grant Effenmacher, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.